saving money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Interior Paint and Primer in 1 is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Murder in the Morning.
Oh, it's been an interesting week or so in the trial of Karen Reed. Of course, we have all the Proctor comments that we've heard about.
Please tell me that. Well, I need to talk more about Michael Proctor. I feel damaged from his testimony. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen in a vacuum either. I mean, I do not believe that they just started talking this way specifically on this case. This is systemic of a much broader problem within that department. And I'm really the can of worms that he opened up, because there's so many other cases, whatever he's been involved in for the last, 18 years or so. They're all going to be looked at pretty closely to see, was there some sort of shit going on with the police?
God.
Due to...
Just disgusting.
And the thing is, with this case, I look at it, Tim, going, okay, horrible language, really a deplorable human being, but does it change the likelihood that Karen Reed accidentally hit John O'Keefe? No, it really doesn't, but it shows an asshole that really wanted to pin it on her no matter what and didn't just let the evidence do what it was going to do. Because I still don't buy a conspiracy or anything. There's too many people. I imagine there's a lot of people around Proctor who are shocked, especially like the women. I'm hoping that they're shocked of the way that he was speaking of people. But I think those close to him in the department, not shocked at all. I think it's just kind of how they all operate. And that's
I wonder, you know, Tony, we've known some really shitty people in radio. I'm just going to throw that out there. I have zero F's given here. We know what they're like. We know what they're like at work. We know what they're like in their personal life. It didn't seem to vary much. So I wonder, and I'm going to say something really offensive here, really offensive. But when Michael Proctor referred to Karen Reed as a cunt, I'm guessing the people around him aren't shocked, going, wow, I didn't know he'd had that word in him.
Yeah.
He'd probably heard it before.
Yeah.
Because anybody who uses that word so willingly, they've used it before.
Well, and to I guess to speak it without, I don't know, like, why is there this hate towards Karen Reed? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it seemed like most of the people around were all like cool with her. There really isn't a big story of Karen Reed being a horrible person. I mean, her and John O'Keefe were together for a while. She was participating and helping him with the kids that he was raising. I don't know. I don't know what the reason would be why there's this vehement hate for Karen Reed that early in the investigation. There's really never a time to use any of it. I would understand more the animosity closer to today, after these several years of waiting for this thing to get to trial, and all the everything that's gone back and forth. But like 16 hours in,
yeah,
like you're not even like she's. I don't know. It's fucked up. I think he may have just given her her ticket to walk free.
I feel like that too. I mean, 16 hours in, the body is barely cold.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bad thing to say about this case.
This one was cold. Yeah.
You know, it was very cold, but this case wasn't even a day old and they decided, oh, she did it. She did it.
Well, it looked pretty obvious that she did. I mean, I'll give them that. It looked fairly open and shut. The way that this has all gotten twisted around is bizarre. But I do understand the vitriol and the hate that this community seems to have for their law enforcement.
Yeah.
Because this shit, I'm sure, has been going on with other cases and other things, and they're just sick to death of it. And it's not so much that they love Karen Reed. It's much more like they hate the law enforcement and the shady shit that they do in their boys club over there to weigh the scales. And that's why I think you have the movement that you do have there that is very, very vitriolic. I don't think they're right that there was, I still don't see this as being a conspiracy to beat him up and then they threw the body out there. That just still, to me, doesn't add up to make any sense. Mm-hmm. But what does make sense is it feels like they wanted to put a little more weight on the scale. They tipped the scale even more into looking like Karen Reed did it, because I think she did it, not on purpose. I think it was an accident, but you didn't need to tip the scale. Now it makes everything look shady. It makes everything look like it might not be true. Even the things that are true.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The trial continuing on, as Trooper Joseph Paul provided details the other day regarding vehicle data and accident reconstruction supporting the prosecution's case that John O'Keefe was struck by Reed's Lexus. The court also navigated multiple juror-related issues, causing several recesses throughout the morning. The day began with several sidebars involving jurors, leading to the excusal of one juror for personal reasons. Judge ordered the camera off after it inadvertently captured a juror. The disruptions were compounded by technical issues as the court worked to establish an audio feed for live streaming. Jessica Hyde, a cell phone expert, was among the first to testify. She clarified the timing of Jennifer McCabe's Google searches, countering previous reports that suggested a search for how long to die in cold occurred at 2:27 a.m. Hyde explained that the search was in a suspended state tab and was accessed later during the time when McCabe was purportedly looking up sports information. Let's take a listen.
So I used the this vehicle speeds and the time and calculated a distance.
I grabbed the wrong one. Let me
go. Oh, that's okay. I was going to say her voice got a little deeper than I remember.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. She was identifying that day Trooper Joseph Proctor, Trooper Joseph Paul. Just for the hell of it. Okay.
It happens.
Here's the right audio.
6:23:51 for how long TI die in cold. And that is coming from the Mobile Safari plist, the com.apple.mobile Safari plist I mentioned earlier. And the search is also shown in the knowledge CDB. That's commonly what we would expect. We would expect that search to be in both of those, both that plist and that database.
Can I stop you?
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as the expectation of that being in both of those, the plist and the other database, why is that?
That is because the search is not being tracked not only by the plist for Safari, but also by the system itself to be able to do that predictive coding. So in the future, when you start to type how long, it gives you what you searched last time.
And with respect to that, how long it takes to digest food? Based on your analysis, was that a search term that was ever entered into this phone?
Correct. The source of that, if you look at this first line where it says cdn2smoot.apple.com, that's what indicates that this is an Apple suggested term, not a user input term.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. If you could please continue with the next.
Absolutely. The next search that was done immediately after the search at 6:23, the next search was how long TI die in CLKD. Again, we see that search both in the Knowledge CDB and the Mobile Safari plist. So we see it in both databases. Then, so that's how long to die in cold. Sorry, I was on the next line. Then at 6:24, we get the next search, which is HOF long to die in cold. And we have that search again, both in the Knowledge CDB and the plist. If I were timelining this based on activity as opposed to timestamps associated, what I see here is the beginning of a user typing a search, Apple making a suggestion of how long to digest food. The user does not take that suggestion and rather inputs how long TI die in CKLD. They then make a second search of HOS, long to die in cold. That search winds up being the last search in the tab, and that is why we see it in the this particular browser state DB. It should be noted that this is in one of those WAF files and not the RAW file.
So if you understood that,
which most people probably don't, but she's very interesting to listen to.
It's basically what we've been saying the whole time. You open a tab, it can stay open, and then that timestamp is when you open the tab. It's not what you searched for exactly at that moment in time. And she had that tab open, and then she searched in it, and she originally opened the tab at 2-something, and then the other searches occurred. How long did Die in Cold later? But that tab initially opened at 2:27 a.m.
How many tabs do you have open on your phone right now? I just looked at mine and about crap myself.
Phone? Yeah. I'm very meticulous about that.
Are you?
I close stuff. I'm always on my daughter for that. Like, close your apps. That's why your battery's dying. If I go to Chrome, I only have one up right now.
But I have 34.
But it's up. I mean, if I started searching on this tab right now, whatever time I opened that initially.
That's when it's stamped.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, those, you know, if you think about it, let's say bar time is, 2 o'clock? Well, maybe that's a Wisconsin thing. Or is it 1 o'clock? It's been so long.
I believe it's 2 a.m. in Wisconsin. Most of the rest of the world is like midnight.
Oh, okay. Well, you figure, you know, they're out drinking, they're doing things. It's not uncommon to get home from a bar, lie in bed and go, oh, I can't sleep. And you grab your phone and you start searching. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a tab open, you go right to it. That's just how people operate their phones.
It makes sense.
It's not weird.
It's not a real outlier here. It's just we finally had an expert able to explain how this works. Following High Tripper Joseph Paul from the Massachusetts State Police Crash Reconstruction Unit, took to the stand. He discussed his examination of Karen Reed's Lexus, noting visible damage, including scratches, a dent, a broken taillight, and glass on the bumper. Paul indicated that no data was recovered from the airbag control module, which he stated is not uncommon in pedestrian collisions. In a critical part of his testimony, Trooper Paul described a triggering event where the vehicle accelerated to 24.2 miles per hour, with the accelerator reaching 74.5%. He asserted that the data from Reed's Lexus and O'Keefe's injuries were consistent with a pedestrian strike, and that the impact would have caused O'Keefe's body to rotate counterclockwise. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, there were blunt force injuries. I mean, it was abrasions or lacerations and blunt force injuries.
And the injuries that you observed or that you were informed about, that you learned this from the medical examiner, is that correct?
Correct.
And with respect to the injuries that Mr. O'Keefe was recorded as having sustained, according to the medical examiner, what, if any, relationship did those injuries have to you in relation to a pedestrian collision?
Sorry, say it again.
As far as the injuries that you were informed by the medical examiner that Mr. O'Keefe had sustained?
Yes.
What, if any, relationship did those injuries have in relation to a pedestrian collision?
They are consistent with a pedestrian collision.
And how so?
You can break down each injury to the arm, the lacerations of the arm from the taillight, the dent where the scratches for his hand could be. Those are something that would be consistent with this in this particular case with striking the Lexus.
So there you go. That's his take on that. And by the way, you're in for a treat tomorrow when cross happens on this man. Because he's not the best expert witness. There's some more testimony that he had about the situation.
So I used the this vehicle speeds and the time and calculated a distance that the vehicle traveled during this time.
And as far as the total distance traveled from the 0 to the 23.6 at the end, what was the total distance there?
97.35 feet.
And with respect to the vehicle's maximum speed, as far as 24.2 miles per hour that's recorded within this data set, how much distance had the vehicle traveled prior to achieving that 24.2 mile per hour?
62.51 feet.
Thank you, sir. May I approach this to retrieve, Your Honor?
Yes.
Now, Trooper Paul, with regard to, based on your training and experience with respect to this type of data and crash reconstruction in general, this particular set of data from, I don't know, who's the name again, from 12,629 miles B, what, if any, type of collision is that data set consistent with and why?
Yeah, there's a point there where it appears to be consistent with a pedestrian strike.
And why is it that your interpretation of that data you feel is consistent with the pedestrian strike?
It's the sudden change of speed, that 24.2 to 23.6 and a half second, while the accelerator pedal is still at a consistent 74%. And also the steering wheel angle goes left at 4.5 degrees and also goes right to 4.5 degrees, and then goes back to left after that. So right at that spot is something that's consistent with a pedestrian strike.
So he's talking about some of the data there about the pedestrian strike. Again, wait for Cross tomorrow when we play that tomorrow for you. He gets eviscerated. It's almost painful. The jury was later shown Ring camera footage depicting Reed's vehicle backing into O'Keefe's car in the driveway. The visual evidence further supported the prosecution's narrative. DNA evidence was also a focal point of the day. Forensic DNA analysis from Bode Technology and the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab testified about profiles matching John O'Keefe's found on the taillight and pieces of other items at the scene. Nicholas Bradford at the test chart from Bode Technology confirmed that O'Keefe's DNA was found on the taillight fragments. Chart noted the hair sample was consistent with the mitochondrial DNA profile obtained from John O'Keefe. Let's take a look at that testimony here. I'm just making sure I have the right one open up. That's the hair. Here we go. Hair.
The mitochondrial DNA profile that was obtained from the sample, the hair sample, was consistent with the mitochondrial DNA profile obtained from John O'Keefe. So therefore, John O'Keefe cannot be excluded as a possible contributor of that hair.
Defense attorney Alan Jackson questioned the validity of the evidence, suggesting it could have been planted. He challenged the timeline proposed by the prosecution, asserting that Reed did not return to 34 Fairview Avenue after 5:18 a.m. as suggested. The day concluded with the jury being sent home. Judge provided the trial schedule, and court obviously has resumed for the week, and that's where it's going to be interesting. Voir dire on Tuesday, no trial on Wednesday due to a holiday, and a full day Thursday and a half day on Friday if you're playing along at home and want to play.
Can I share something that... Yeah, I think Carol and I last week kind of landed on this. I think we have kind of a little fangirl crush on Alan Jackson now. I love how he just went after Proctor and just like he's not really this big guy. He's kind of a smaller guy.
Yeah.
But he is just a strong character. Like he just came out swinging like, I've got the goods and here I come. It was just, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, that was crazy testimony. And I think something to note here is that Proctor's still employed. They are doing an internal investigation because God knows it's always a great idea to investigate yourself your group, your company or your whatever, this is the police department, to investigate itself. Because those always turn out to show a lot of, you know, bad behavior. They're always, they usually don't. And I don't know. I just hope he's set to find a new career at like Family Video or something if they still exist.
I think there's one left, maybe. But yeah, I I actually, I don't think Carol did this. I think I'm crazy enough to have done this, but I looked up Alan Jackson mainly because his name just makes me giggle. Mm-hmm. Having worked in country radio, it's like, it's not that Alan Jackson. We've talked about that.
Yep.
He is, I believe, a graduate of Pepperdine University.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. School of Law. He is a assistant head deputy of Major Crimes Division for the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office for 14 years. And he has prosecuted more than 50 felony trials. So it, to me, it's amazing that he is dealing with the Karen Reed case, because he has handled a lot of really famous cases.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's very good. She has a great defense team with her right now, without a doubt. And they are certainly doing their job. The prosecution, I don't know what they thought. I don't know if they thought they were going to go into this and it was going to be a slam dunk or something, but they're getting eviscerated left and right on this.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. And I honestly, I thought it, speaking of being eviscerated, Michael Proctor having to read his own salacious text messages is just,
how do you know
what it's like?
What?
It's like Stevie Nicks making Lindsey Buckingham sing about what a shitty boyfriend he was.
Pretty, I think it's even worse. I mean, can you imagine? Because he's still married. He's going back at night to a wife that, you know, I can't imagine that this is going over well at home.
Oh God.
You said what? You were, and how, and there's another thing with all this. I wonder how much these idiots realized how much shit they had said. And then they're like, oh shit, we got to make sure this doesn't get out, because they're going to subpoena all this shit. And it's all going to come out in discovery. We better really do something to just make, you know, speed this along, so our dirty laundry doesn't come out. Again, does it change the likelihood that Karen Reed hit John O'Keefe with her car? No.
No.
But it certainly looks like they're covering something up, but they're not covering up a murder. They're covering up their own bad behavior is what I am kind of feeling about this whole thing. Totally fucked up. And we'll see. I don't think John O'Keefe is ever really going to get justice here. I just think there's going to be a lot of exposing of shitty behavior. And I don't know. Worst case, Karen's going to get vehicular manslaughter and probably not a very strict or restrictive sentence or nothing at all. I think she may end up getting lucky here because of the horrible behavior of law enforcement. And the jury's just going to say, look, they fucked this up too much for us to truly be able to make a judgment on this without a reasonable doubt.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker, and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in this satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta on March 11th, only on Prime Video.